The disciples had been having a wonderful time with Jesus. Can you imagine traveling with the Lord? Watching him turn water into wine, healing lepers, healing cripples, opening the eyes of the blind. And on this particular day, they had participated with Jesus in one of the best known miracles that he ever performed. He actually took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men and probably another 7,000 or 8,000 women and children. And the amazing thing was that the Lord involved the disciples, and as they were taking the food and handing it to the people, it was multiplying right in their hands. And when it was all over, they collected far more than they had ever started with. Who would not have wanted to follow Jesus? I mean, this was great. His crowds were getting bigger. His Nielsen ratings were going up. Everything was turning out so good. And we picked the story up in Matthew chapter 14, and I've titled this Stormy Weather. Storms are those things that come into our life that we didn't create. Things that come into our life that overwhelm us. They are bigger than we are. Things that we just can't get a handle on. Things we can't do much about. But we oftentimes feel very threatened by them. And they raise some of the big questions of life. And we'll see that as we come to this story. Turn with me if you have your Bibles or it's up here. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, now that's right after feeding the 5,000. Same day, same afternoon. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples who just distributed all this food, get into a boat, and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now let's pause there for a moment. I think there's something going on here. I think there must have been some little argument because Matthew says he made them. He didn't ask them, he didn't suggest. He made them get in the boat and go on ahead of him. I think probably the disciples were wondering why Jesus didn't get in the boat with them. Why can't we wait until you dismiss the crowd and then we'll all go over there? If you're going up in a mountain to pray, why don't we all go up in a mountain to pray? Why is it important that we get in the boat without you and go across? That wasn't a big deal for them to cross the Sea of Galilee. They'd done that many times, both in daylight and at night. I don't know whether they saw the storm flags waving or not. I don't know if the weather department had told them that there were squall warnings out. But this was no big deal for them. Many of them were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat. Except that a few chapters earlier, in chapter 8, they had been on the same sea and it got rough. And it was so rough, or their boat was in such bad shape, I'm not sure which it was, but they feared for their lives. And Jesus is asleep up in the bow of the boat, and they awaken him and they say, "Master, do you not care that we all perish?" And so Jesus, the creator of the universe, who made the sea, created the heavens, made rain, all of it of his making. John says there was nothing made that he did not make. He stands on the bow of the boat and he says to the wind, "Be still, peace." And instantly the sea became as glass. The wind died down. Now, the disciples are in this boat alone, and they're on their way without Jesus. After he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. And then during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. That tells us that they'd been out there hours. This was not a big lake. It should not have taken very long to get across, but they weren't making much progress. Luke, in his version of the story, says they were straining at the oars. It was tough going. And when the disciples saw him walking, or during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And then when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is one of those situations that's tailor-made for one of the big questions of life. What happened? How did we get in this mess? Everything was going along so nice. We had a great afternoon. We had a great picnic. Everybody enjoyed it. Everybody was happy. And then we get in this boat, and we're in the middle of a storm. We must be out of God's will. Surely, God doesn't want his children in storms. Surely, there's something wrong. We expect God to make everything just wonderful, nice, smooth sailing, calm weather, nothing challenging. What's happened? You know, the devil oftentimes attacks us and makes the storm a problem for us because he says, you know, if you were in God's will, this wouldn't be happening to you. But Matthew is very precise. He is telling us that the disciples were exactly where Jesus had told them to be, doing exactly what he told them to do, doing exactly where he told them to do it, doing it exactly how he told them to do it. They were in his will and in a storm. Storms can be the will of God. Difficulties can come. Storms do not mean that we are out of God's will. Being in a storm does not mean that you're out of God's favor. Well, maybe we're in God's will, but God sent this storm because he's angry with us. Maybe he's mad because we didn't do something just the right way. Maybe he's evening some score. You remember that pencil you stole in third grade? God's going to get even with you for that. You see, the devil doesn't like the fact that Jesus paid it all. And at the cross, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? Your debt, my debt, was paid in full. No balance due. Satan hates that. And every time adversity comes into our life, he wants to tell you and me, well, you see, you've got some debt to pay. There's a balance due. God's going to even the score. And if you had been doing this right, if you had been doing that right, this would not have happened. Storms do not mean that you're out of favor with God. Neither do storms mean that you are out of God's sight. There was not a moment in that journey that Jesus didn't know exactly where the disciples were. As a matter of fact, he's on the mountaintop there. He's looking down out there. It's night. It's dark. The wind is blowing. It's probably raining hard. Maybe there's thunder and lightning. We don't know those details. But Jesus saw them and he knew where they were, and something about the character of Jesus is revealed in this because he wanted to be where they were in their storm. He was not satisfied to be aloof. He was not satisfied to be distant. He wanted to be right with them. And that's what the Word says, that he is a very present help in the time of storm. Christ is not distant from us in storms. We don't have storms because he has left us. He is very near and close to us in storms. And Christ was in reach. Now, the disciples could be forgiven if they thought it was hopeless. There was no way Jesus was going to show up there. But you know, they thought the sea was separating them from the Lord. They thought the storm was separating them from the Lord. But the Lord used the sea and the storm to come to them. And he can use your storm to come to you with a fresh revelation of who he is and what he is. And when they saw him, they were struck with fear. Maybe they're getting a little seasick. Maybe they're hallucinating. But they thought they saw a ghost. And they were terrified. And I am so fascinated because in that situation, it is important for us when we're in a storm to keep our focus on the Lord and not focus on the storm. Most of the time, our prayer life changes. Our attitudes change. And all of a sudden, this storm becomes the big thing in our life. Instead of Jesus. They were not expecting Jesus there. Why would Jesus be out in a storm? And so Jesus comes to them. We must listen for him. His words were profound. Take courage. Do not fear. It is I. There was something about the words of Jesus. It didn't calm the storm, but it calmed the disciples. In fact, Peter was so struck by the fact that Jesus was there, he looks out and he says, Lord, if that's really you out there, and I think it is because I recognize that voice, would you let me come out there with you? I like that kind of a wave runner. That looks like a lot of fun. Let me do it too. And Jesus is always in for an exciting adventure. And he says to Peter, well, come on. And can't you see Peter starting to step over the side of the boat? And maybe he kind of gingerly puts his first foot down there to see whether it's going to sink or whether it's going to hold him up. And the rest of the disciples, we are not told anything about them, but I have an idea that they might have been standing there looking at him with their arms folded and said, look at the show off. Why can't he be a normal disciple? Why does he always have to be doing the bizarre? No, you know, I rather think that maybe the disciples looked at Peter and they kind of said to one another, boy, I wouldn't try that. I hope he makes it. That takes guts. You know, Hey, Peter, go for it, man, go for it. What would happen in the church if we all felt comfortable daring to trust Jesus with a new adventure? What would happen if we were not conscious that somebody else would look at us and criticize us as being odd? How many new teachers would be discovered? How many new worship leaders would be discovered? How many new soloists would be discovered? How many new gifts would we discover in the body of Christ if we felt we were all surrounded by a gallery of support? And Peter makes it all the way to Jesus. You have to listen hard sometimes in the midst of a storm because there's a lot of noise. Storms can be just filled with havoc. And there are Christians sometimes who are giving us orders. And they're telling us, do this, do that. I imagine that boat was full of a lot of screaming. Steer, pull, bail. A lot was going on. And then you hear this. Take courage. Fear not. It is I. Can you get on the right frequency in a storm? Can you dial in and hear what the Word is saying? It is powerful enough to not perhaps change your circumstances at the moment, but He'll change you. We must not only keep our focus in the storm and listen, but we must look. We must look carefully for the Lord and then learn the comfort of the Savior. Storms are oftentimes lessons. And they come to us and they give us a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Peter gets out there, and the text says, seeing the wind. Now, you can't see wind, so what you see is the results of the wind. He must have seen a big wave. And he saw that wave, and he thought to himself, wow, I think I'm in over my head. And he started to sink. And some people give Peter failing marks. I don't. He's a swimmer. He's a fisherman. And he's starting to sink. What does he do? He was out there because Jesus told him he could be out there. He goes right straight to Jesus. And he calls on Him. And he says, Lord, save me. Save me. He doesn't try to work himself out of this. He is under the control and under the orders and in the care of the Lord. Now, some very, very interesting things happen at that point. The text says immediately, it's the second time this word is used, immediately Jesus reached out and he took a hold of Peter. I don't think Peter was expecting that. I think what Peter was expecting was what had happened in chapter 8. That the Lord would finally say, enough is enough. Look at the storm. Peace. Be still. But when Peter cried out, Lord, save me, Jesus did not do a thing about his circumstances. And if you were a bystander, you might have looked at Peter and said, that prayer hasn't been answered. He's still in a storm. I can hear the wind howling. I can see the waves, how they're forming white caps. But don't try to tell Peter Jesus hadn't heard his prayer, because he felt a strong, tenacious hand holding him. Here's the point, friends. Sometimes Jesus doesn't deal with our circumstances because he first wants to deal with us. And what he wanted to do was tighten the relationship between himself and Peter. That was far more important than dealing with a howling wind. That was far more important for Peter to learn the lesson that when you are in the Lord's care, the wind is not a threat. The storm, your circumstances, will not overwhelm you when the hand of Jesus is on you. And he needed to understand that his solution and his salvation, his safety, did not depend on how much he could hold on to Jesus, but it depended on how tight Jesus had him. One other quick point about this. When he said, "Lord, save me," the response was immediate. Jesus didn't use that as a bargaining session. He didn't say, "Well, Peter, let's talk a little bit about this. What's it worth? Is it worth your tithe? Is it worth that you change some things in your life? Let's see, what are you willing to give up in order for me to save you?" We are not in that situation, and Christ does not do that with us. This is not a quid pro quo situation. We don't have any bargaining chips, folks. He paid it all. We are living in grace. We are living in mercy. And Jesus comes to us immediately, unconditionally. We cry out, "Save me." And he comes and he takes us into his hands. Now, a very odd thing happened at that point. Remember, Jesus had walked from the mountain all the way out to where the boat was. He'd called Peter out of the boat, and Peter came and walked to where Jesus was. Now they're standing there together. Why doesn't Jesus take Peter and walk the rest of the way and say to Peter, "Let's leave those bozos in the boat"? They didn't have enough guts. They didn't have enough faith. They weren't curious enough to get out. Leave him stewing their juices. At that point, he would have probably split the church in half. You would have had people who go by water and people who go by boats. There would have been first-class saints and second-class saints. Some are in business and the rest are in coach. And you'd sit in the church and you'd look across and you'd say, "Well, he's first class." He went 30 feet last week without a boat. "How far did you go?" "Well, I'm still using oars." "Oh, coach." Jesus would have none of it. He took Peter and he said, "Peter, we still need boats. You and I are going to get in a boat. And I'm going to dignify a boat. And I want everybody else who's in the boat to know it's okay to be in a boat." You see, there's a great lesson here. Jesus can heal a cancer without radiation, chemo, or surgery. But he uses boats. He is sovereign and he decides when to use a boat and he decides when he doesn't need a boat. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. But he will not have us make second-class saints out of those who go for a physician. Or he won't have us become second-class saints because we need to see a counselor. He says boats are okay. I use boats. And when the two of them got in the boat, Matthew says the wind died down. That's when the circumstances changed. And all the disciples looked at Jesus and they said, "Wow, you really are the Son of God, aren't you?" Do you know what's amazing about this? 6 hours earlier, they fed 5,000 people, and they didn't say that. Maybe that's why Jesus said, you know, we're going to put an exclamation mark on this day. Get in the boat. You didn't get it. Get in the boat. And it may have been a bright, sunny moment. And Jesus said, now, Father, let's show them who's boss. Let's show them who I really am. They don't get it. And so out of this storm comes a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Now, some of you guys have shopped for diamonds. Some of you are sitting next to someone who hopes you will. Some of you are wondering why it's taking so long. But when you do, you will discover that the jeweler uses black tapestry to show off his diamonds. And he puts that sparkling gem against the blackest of backgrounds. And that's what a storm is. It makes the iridescence, the radiance, the power, the majesty, the authority of Jesus shine much brighter than it ever shone before. Why is it that you can walk into a hospital room with a person who's nearing death and their life is aglow, the smile on their face, and they say, you know, it's not going to be long? I was in a hospital room just about 2 weeks ago. Dear saint. And as I was getting ready to leave, she knew that my wife had passed away last August. And she said to me, Wayne, I'll probably see Barbara before you do. What do you want me to tell her? I said, tell her I love her. Tell her it's okay. We're doing well. How do people do that? In the black tapestry, the radiance of Jesus shines so much brighter. Jesus also uses storms to humble us. Lest we think too much of ourselves, that we are the special one who walks on water. He puts us back in the boat with himself. Are you in a storm? Are you struggling because something is about to overwhelm you? And like the disciples, you don't know any avenue of escape. You don't know how in the world anybody, much less Jesus, could solve this problem. I mean, he'd have to walk on water. Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem. Would you give that storm to the Lord? Would you let him give you a fresh revelation of who he is? Let's pray. You are so patient with us, Lord. When we don't get it, you try a different path. And sometimes when we do get it, we forget it. We focus on the storm, and we forget about you. I pray, Lord, for those who came into this place this morning discouraged, frustrated, frightened, fearful. I ask, Lord, that it will make a difference that they have been here, that they have heard your word, that they have had an encounter with you, that they have sung praises to you. That it will make a difference, Lord, that they have been surrounded by brothers and sisters who love them, And Lord, that they will walk out of here with a new hope because they've heard Jesus say, be of good courage. Be not afraid. It is I. And help us to feel the grip of the tenacious love of a Savior on our lives, even though our circumstances may have not changed. We know we're okay. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.